morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Welcome to Opening the Doors of Heaven with Alvin. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations and a glimpse into the world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here is your host, Alvin.
Welcome, and I'm so sorry to have missed last week's show with you, and I certainly am glad to be back with you, my brothers and sisters of light. Next weekend, I will be in Dublin, and I will have to get up very, very sort of early Sunday morning to do the show with you, but I would be delighted to do that. I miss it when we're not together for this hour, and so that will most certainly be done next week. Let's talk about some very interesting things that are very little known, actually. It's to do with matrices, it's to do with grids, multiple things like that. And some of those events have only actually come to light in the last hour. So I want to share with you my highest knowledge of this day. It may change tomorrow, but that's this day's best knowledge on this subject. My brothers and sisters, there's something we have often mentioned. We have said that even the bodies of magic, like Wicca, has a tainted source. It has tainted origins. And as such, it's based on incorrect principles. And the principles causes aging to the practitioner, as well as a depletion of the environment. We have spoken much about the restoration of the beautiful, pristine, white magic that is being restored. And we've also mentioned that that reveals the perfection that underlies all appearances. So, you know, I had somebody recently write to me and say, why do I need to use white magic? Well, you don't need to anything. You're not there to serve it. It is there to serve you. But if you are able to do something each day that reveals the perfection underlying any sub-creations of man over the top of it, the perfection of infinite creation, every time somebody does that, it's a service to all life. And that brings blessings. So it depends whether you would like to do your blessings in that way. It is also a very pristine gift from the infinite, and I have on two occasions been reprimanded that I do not either take it seriously enough or that I sort of shun it as a subject simply because it hasn't been my way for many years prior to this, but a master has to behave fluidly. If it's not my way before, it's a gift given by the infinite to humankind at this time. And the requirement is there for the masters of the planet to help bring this into fruition, into its adulthood and its power. It is pristine. It cannot be misused. So if that is our task, then that is our task. Now, my brothers and sisters, there's something interesting, though, that ties in with tonight's subject. And that has to do with alchemy and also the divine architect creative principles. Those two websites are up for you to look at. And the one is called Divine Architect, and it's Principles of Creation or Creative Principles, but just look up Divine Architect. And of course, all our websites are always listed on our home site of www.spiritualjourneys.com. We possibly are having two more coming up this coming week, and one will be The Way of the Toltec Nahual, and the other one is The Incorruptible White Magic.com. So, that's already up and running. The other one is the shamanism one. It's called ancientshamanism.com. We show on that website how shamanism of today is really remnants, bits and pieces, and in some instances, distortion of the ancient and deep earth shamanism that was. And this is level one of bringing it back. But the same thing applies, which I've never mentioned before, to alchemy, as well as the divine architect creative principles. And our alchemy website is under wheelsofthegoddess.com, because it uses the wheels of the goddess in its practice. So my brothers and sisters, why then is it that the matrix ties in with the tainted source of alchemy? Because it used the matrix, and the matrix in and of itself was extremely tainted. And so you were able to misuse alchemy in the ancient times because of its source. Its source, by its very nature, was non-life enhancing, as we'll see. Then why is it that the divine architect, creative principles, is from a tainted source? It used what lay outside the cosmos. We have on multiple occasions on these shows said that you can do 1 plus 1 equals up to 96 with alchemy, depending on how many, the type of things you add together. But that the divine architect creative principles, 1 plus 1 can be a lot more than that. Well, the reason for that is that the alchemy, as well as the white magic, it worked with what lay within our cosmos. The divine architect, known as the capstone of all these bodies of information, worked with something exponentially larger, with what lay outside the cosmos. Now, why is what lay outside the cosmos tainted? Aha, that's where our story begins. But what lay outside the cosmos, as far as I know, since I've been called by the Infinite Mother to work with this since 2005, to work with cosmic things and cosmic keys and unlocking membranes for the cosmos and so on to ascend. As I've been working on it, what lay outside the cosmos has changed three times. But in each of those times, what lay outside the cosmos was hostile to life inside the cosmos. So the divine architect principles of old, the capstone, the all-seeing eye was a symbol. It, too, was, in fact, tainted because its source was tainted. First of all, what we encountered as we started to move up in ascension way back in 2005 was we encountered other cosmic spaces. And the cosmic spaces were held open like our cosmos was, except that the life forms that we found in it, it were very few. It was sparsely populated, and in the book that I wrote, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, you can see that indeed some of these had types of fairies in. Walls was a type of fairy we encountered when we opened up to another cosmos, for example, and I give their little story in there, W-O-H-L, I believe. But the point is that we did encounter some species in these other cosmoses. And they were spaces held open by the Infinite Mother's mirror images that were formed images called aspects. So we were in a cluster. And this is information you will be getting from the new book, Windows into Eternity. We were in a cluster of cosmoses resembling quite closely a cotton ball seen through a microscope. It was a tangled, threads with little balls attached to it, the way a tangle of DNA strands would look like. Those clusters was first what we ascended through as we started to ascend. We broke free of that cluster. I know I'm not entirely sure where we broke through, but I think that it was in October of 2005. There was a massive, massive event that happened then. But regardless, we moved then along a pathway. And the vast, vast pathway was in fact a reflection of the Infinite Mother's DNA. We had been in a cluster on her DNA strand. We then broke free from the cluster and started to spiral along her DNA strand, encountering other clusters along the way. The DNA strand was composed of what we called unformed ocean of consciousness. Nevertheless, a reflection of a portion of the mother's being. But it was that which created the pathway. Outside of the pathway, we had what's called mind at rest. Mind at rest did not have self-awareness or awareness of any kind. It only had life force and what we call presence particles. So it was like mind at rest. But the strand along which we moved was very aware. And it was called the oceans of consciousness. They were separated from one another by membranes, like little pockets of undifferentiated space with no life forms in it, but pockets, nevertheless, that separated them was a little membrane. This is what we moved through thereafter. This then changed yet again. When outer space collapsed, it was during 2007 that the mother worked and worked and worked on eliminating the DNA strands up there. And the DNA strands up there is simply a reflection of the infinite's DNA. But the vast cosmos has ceased to exist. Everything folded into one, and eventually what was life-enhancing enough to survive was assimilated by our cosmos, and the rest was completely dissolved. But dissolved into what? Dissolved into what we can call a field or essence. It was, let's say, you know, I've explained often about our building blocks of life being like the vegetables in the soup broth, and that the soup broth preceded those vegetables, the awareness particles and so on that we used to have. The broth is the field. We encountered the field, that from which the building materials of individuated life formed. So thus far, this is what we encountered. The divine architect creative principles drew on the field. The field itself was found to be a hostile substance because it had separation within it. It held duality within it. It was made that way. And it was also hostile to life. This is where the divine architect drew its power from. So all of these bodies have needed to be restored in pristineness. We spent, not this week that's just gone by, but the week before, I was in class, and if you read our diary for that week, you will see the tremendous clearings that were done for the spine, because the infinite is getting ready to restore the serpent magic to its fullness. Toltecs work with what is called serpent magic. It's the Kundalini magic. And so much of the Toltec information that you'll see on the Toltec website will give you information on letting the Kundalini rise. This too is something that had previously been tainted because of blockages in the humankind's spinal cord, and very specifically at the base of the spine, which is the coccyx bone. That's where everything has to originate, and our coccyx bones have been, most of us, folded under, and it comes from fear. It's like a dog would tuck its tail between its legs. It's a reflex, and that is why we have had that. our bodies of great pristine magic everywhere throughout the cosmos could not work properly until these things were fixed. Now, how does the Matrix fit into this? Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at that.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. Well, first of all, let's just differentiate between two terms. If you take a look at a balloon, and think of the balloon as what space or the cosmos used to be. The exterior latex part of the balloon is the matrix. It gives the pattern of the life. It determined the pattern of life inside the balloon. Now, the air inside the balloon is a grid. And it's important that we don't get those two mixed up. So the grid is the pattern. The matrix determines the pattern. Now, the way that life developed was as follows. The infinite being within its being created something foreign. It created a field from which to form its creations. It then created a space, yet again, something foreign, but like a bucket placed inside the ocean, in which this creation will take place. But a pattern had to be given of how that creation would behave. It had to mirror certain aspects of the infinite. So, in the building blocks that we used to have when duality was still alive and well within the cosmos, we had what was called presence particles. They were the most etheric particles, cosmic life force particles, awareness particles, light and love particles, and then we had perception particles. We had self-perception particles, and we had subatomic material particles. So there were seven. And they represented the seven directions that we at that point had, as well as the seven vast bands of compassion from which life was created. The highest octave were the present particles, and they're very pertinent to the matrix, because the matrix were, in fact, formed from those presence particles. The presence particles formed a pattern, and that pattern itself was the matrix. Now, we have frequently used the example on the show of the metal shadings on the back of a little cardboard round and how your tuning fork, if you tick it against glass, you know, and you put this cardboard on a glass, you put the metal shadings on top of the little cardboard round, little circle. Every tuning fork that goes bing against that glass on which the circle rests will create a different pattern in the metal shavings. The pattern becomes more and more refined as you go up the octave. Now, the pattern of the metal shavings determined by the frequency was the presence particles arranging itself into a matrix surrounding the cosmos. And that was the matrix. But the Infinite Mother had asked one of her mirror images that became known as the Watcher because it had the specific function of watching the matrix. And the matrix watcher was one that was used. In fact, there were 16 used in alchemy. If you go onto my my website, you will see the old wheels. We've had to put a shield over them because they were a portal that pulled old things back. But they are there. The old wheels of alchemy worked with these watchers. They worked with 16. There were 16 eyes around the outside of these old alchemist circles. We've given you the new one that will work, and we've told you how to use it, if you would wish. But my brothers and sisters, why 16? Well, because there were the four directions. It's all that we knew. It's part of the Kabbalah, the I Ching, the Dzogchen, etc. It's the four diamonds, if you will, of life that starts all the way from the I Am, you know, and then goes all the way down to material life right at the bottom. And I've written quite a bit about that in Journey to the Heart of God. But that was the old four directions, which is all that we worked with when we were in the fall. And in the four directions, there were a total of 16 watchers. The four diamonds each had one, and within the four diamonds, there are four dots. If you look at the Tree of Life, those four dots were the were watchers as well. From the center of the balloon, if the balloon is space that the cosmos takes place in, there was always a projector holding the space open, which was surrounded by the matrix and filled with grids, telling each species how to behave. In the case of our cosmos, it always came from the planet Earth. We have spoken about her most unique role, how she is the cradle of civilization, how she was the first planet created, how she never originated in the star system, is told in the history of, that the History Keepers gave in the Book of the Unicorns. It's called The Gift of the Unicorns in the second half of it. However, it's the projector came from the center of the Earth. That also had a watcher. So the grid had a watcher, the matrix had a watcher, and the projector had a watcher of each level of life. The old alchemists used these aspects or mirror images of the mother for their alchemy. And those mirror images were extremely hostile. They did everything they could to impede ascension. And if they could produce black magic, they would have. They are no more, my brothers and sisters. But that black magic that they produced came in the following format. This perfect grid, matrix, the perfect balloon was created by the infinite being. They created a sub-creation inside it. Sometimes multiple sub-creations inside it, so that the perfection couldn't go all the way through these sub-creations. And so if some of you have taken photos I know that we certainly have, and we have some on our blog where we mention the Watchers and the subcreations and the matrices. We have those photos for you to take a look at. But oftentimes cameras pick up kites coming through the sky, these kite-shaped lights coming through the sky. Invariably, when there are kite-shaped lights coming through the sky, there are also dark shadows, kite-shaped, coming down. They're usually slightly smaller. I've seen dozens of photographs like this. The kites that you are photographing, unless it is a bright one that you'll find in somebody's sort of environment and all the photos you take of that person shows this kite near their head, that's different. That's a body of information that person has brought with them that is like a destiny that they want to fulfill. But if you see it coming through the sky, the little black kites, whenever portions of information from the matrix was released, so was the sub-matrix created in hostile intentions by these Watchers. When Mother found out the treachery, she started eliminating them. But my brothers and sisters, there was a problem with just eliminating the Watchers. They seemed to keep coming back. It's been very discouraging. We have had the same pattern as long as I have done this work with my classes on behalf of the infinite, that we often find things that just keep coming back, keep coming back. Oftentimes I lose large numbers of my students because it feels to them like I'm on a treadmill, but we get smarter with every rotation of that treadmill. And every rotation we get a little closer to the day we step off of it. Last night, in the middle of the night, there was a Watcher in my house in the floor between the upper story and the lower story. And, you know, I knew it was pointless to continue to try and just get rid of the Watchers. We have to find why they're there. So I asked Mother what to do. She said, we will tie up the Watchers. And we have to solve the core of it. I'm going to share with you today what the core of it was. But really, the information I've been working on virtually all day, and it was only about an hour ago that it was finally solved. So I will definitely share that with you. But as you know, the matrix is light. It was made when light and frequency were still separated from lines of light filled with information on how to live. As we ascended, the pattern on the back of that cardboard on the glass, you know, would change. The matrix would change to a new pattern, releasing a great deal of power and transfiguring life. But opposite light attracts. So something happened that was not easily foreseen. Many dark sorcerers, in attempts to prolong their life into immortality, have done multiple practices. Some have succeeded to live awful half lives. I believe I only many years ago read a Carlos Castaneda's book, quite partially actually, but the point is, I remember reading that Don Juan took Carlos Castaneda's to see these creatures. I have had to work with those creatures myself. In 2005, there were, let me just remember exactly how many, there was, I believe, 14,000 of those dark lords, if you will, that used to be men, but had, by sucking in vampire fashion from other beings energy, anything they could, life force, they had found methods to do it, and they managed to keep themselves in this awful type of a life. Those beings and others like them were the darkest lights, including some demons. And like a magnet, they got sucked into the matrix. When Mother sent me to look at what the matter with the matrix was, I was so ill. I came back. I had every symptom of having gone into the densest underworld because I had to go through that sub-creation, which was total distortion, a sub-matrix made by these watchers, plus it was filled with these dark lords and demons. So, you know, this did not assist, because as we were going into ascension, we were surrounded by darkness. Let's take a quick break, and I'll discuss this more with you when we get back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almin. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almin. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Naomi.
Now, we mentioned in our description of what we're talking about today that we were going to touch briefly on how this affects the role of chaos in the cosmos. Because what the infinite did is to totally eliminate the matrices of existence. The matrices of existence, the patterns that kept life's marching orders, if we will, marching orders that kept it in place, were totally done away with. Because the infinite decreed that it would be held in place by the intent of the infinite. The intent of the infinite is what held the matrix in place. But now it is held directly in place. And how large is that space? Well, we are no longer in rigid structures of lines of light. We are in a fluid structure. It depends how large the infinite's intent is. And however large it is, that's how large creation is. So this particular issue of the matrix giving us the marching orders, it changed. As the infinite's intent changes, so does life. Previously, the pattern was held by the metal shavings, which in fact was the equivalent of those presence particles, those very, very high octave little particles. Whenever they changed in their pattern, power was released, transfiguration took place. But what exactly changed their pattern? Well, they would, now we're not talking about the sub-creation. We're talking about the infinite's creation that was held in place by infinite intent. What would change that? My brothers and sisters, as the ideal, the intent would hold the matrix previously. Now the intent just holds the pattern for us to emulate. But if enough of us moved up, that's why the greatest service that we gave in this cosmic ascension that has taken place is the overcomings of our own life. What we do is not half as important as who we are. Because as more and more of us became light-filled, what happened is that the cosmos itself, eventually, the gap between the ideal and what we were living got smaller and smaller and smaller. That means chaos got smaller and smaller. But then, as it reached critical mass, the pattern could no longer hold its own. It had to transfigure itself to the next highest note, to the next level. Now there was again a very large difference between what we were living and the now much higher ideal. So the gap between where we were and where we should be had increased. And this became very discouraging, because every time we thought we had a handle on that chaos became less, we would transfigure, and now chaos would again become more. Because when the gap is big between the ideal and where people are living, the one that is living the ideal finds the rest very chaotic. And the one that isn't living the ideal finds that which is the ideal chaotic, because they can't make sense of it yet. It's only as they turn that unknown into the known during past ages that they started to see, aha, there's a pattern emerging. As they started to align with the pattern, more and more people did. Finally, the pattern yet again had to transfigure. So if there had been no chaos under that specific format, which is no longer there, but if we had had no chaos, we would have immediately met the ideal. It would have had to change. We would have immediately met the ideal again. And you see, it would just have been an explosion of growth without being able to have experiential wisdom of that growth, without being able to put roots down, because our wings would have been too great. So it served the purpose. Chaos served the purpose under that circumstance to provide us with a pacing device. Now, with the intent of the infinite there, there's no need for chaos. There's no need for a discrepancy. We can absolutely, all of us, 100% align ourselves with that intent, which would empower our lives enormously and bring about heaven on earth. And if the infinite doesn't wish it to change, it won't change. We don't use that critical mass system of the past anymore. So my point that I'm trying to make is there is no longer any need whatsoever for chaos. Into the laws of existence, it was placed that chaos would no longer be beneficial. There's multiple ways in which that which represented lesser light, that which did not represent light, and so on, was used to take that stumbling block and turn it into a stepping stone. But the time came when the Infinite Mother decreed in the laws of existence that it is of no use, and we shall no longer in any way use it anymore. Then why, my brothers and sisters, did we still have a watcher as late as last night? Mother tied that watcher up, but it did not dissolve until quite late this afternoon. And it's been in my house all day long. So why is that still there? What is the watcher? The watcher is the mirror image of the mother. As long as there is a mirror image, something is saying to us that we are, number one, in some sort of identity consciousness, because in identity consciousness, you identify with yourself as being that little bundle of feelings and thoughts and body, and the rest of life around you is a mirror of what is going on inside. When you go out of identity consciousness into God consciousness, you actually enter what is called higher mind. Higher mind is that which sees you as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. But my brothers and sisters, that is also a form of identity. You've just identified yourself with the larger body, the cosmic body. There is a mind that lies beyond it, and that mind is what we can call the eternal mind, or I haven't coined a phrase for it, actually, because I only received it today. But it's the boundaryless mind. It has no boundary. It's not the high mind that identifies with the cosmos, having a human experience. It's not the finite egoic mind that identifies with the human experience. It is that which goes beyond. Somewhere, we were still dealing with identity consciousness. Now, let's trace back a few months. Remarkable things have happened during these few months, and I trace them day by day on my blog diary. My brothers and sisters, we actually came out of what we call the dream, into the place where the infinite is awakened. We actually then became no longer made from something synthetic. And how can something synthetic be made inside the real? Well, by taking something real and separating it. Because that's not possible. It's like taking the ocean and making a big box inside the ocean to separate ocean from ocean. That is really not able to be done, yet that's what we attempted to do in the dream. The very, very poignant thing of it was that the infinite's dream body was in the dream with us on Earth. And it was the mother, because the dreaming that we do, in fact, comes from our right brain, from the feminine, from the intuitive. The infinite mother did not want to leave the dream because she didn't want to leave her children behind. And she knew that if she woke up, those children that she loved so much would cease to exist. And in the diary, you can read about the extremely crucial decision to shut down the dream and recreate what is life-enhancing in the awake state. The dream was made by the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind makes the dream as a catch-all. You know, every household has a drawer where when you don't know where to put something, it goes in that drawer. It has the odd batteries, it has the elastic band, it has some paper clips, it has the little warranty you always meant to send off, that sort of thing. That is found in those catch-all drawers. Things that were not understood, things that were not sorted out about the infinite's beingness, were put into the catch-all drawer of the subconscious mind, who resolved it by dreaming. We have been resolving all that did not get resolved at some other juncture of existence within creation, which is where we began. And it is there where this dream sorted out that which is from that which isn't. When that was fully complete, the infinite mother left the dream and became basically an androgynous, and the difference between androgyny and hermaphrodite I'd like you to look at, because massive changes have happened in the last 2 weeks regarding sexuality for humankind. And it has to do with androgyny. And so please, you know, look that up on the website. On my blog. It's not really for this evening. But the point is that the infinite became an androgynous being, having no gender whatsoever, once that dream closed down. The entire dream space was eliminated. What that means is that the subconscious for the infinite was no longer needed, because solving the unresolved portions of life was no longer a linear matter. It was immediate and exponential. The dream, the subconscious mind of the infinite, was gone. It was closed down. It was no longer used. We woke up. When you wake up, what mind are you in? Middle mind. Let's take a quick break and we'll see what I found out today about that.
The book, A Life of Miracles, Mystical Keys to Ascension. This book is deeply inspiring and motivational in its content. It is unique in its field of making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. Its detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience. Ascension, Almine's gift as a mystic, are a revelation to all who know her. She is an international phenomenon and certainly deserves to be. That's from His Excellency, Sir Koval Young, Governor General of Belize in Central America. What a priceless experience to be able to catch a glimpse into one of the most remarkable lives of our time. This book is bound to have an indelible impression. That's from the Ambassador Armin Sarkeesian, former Prime Minister of the Republic of Armenia. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeinspiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Have been opening the doors of heaven with Almin. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almin.
Welcome back to our final quarter here of our show, my brothers and sisters. We have woken up into the infinite's middle mind. A mind that is fully awake. It is true. We are no longer from the great dream. And the infinite created us with tender, loving care from the same, I don't even want to call it substance, but from its own being. We're no longer created as an artificial field or anything that does not have the realness to it. We are now real. It's like that beautiful story of the Velveteen Bunny where the little boy loved the bunny so much that the bunny became real. Nursery magic happened, is what the book states. We have become real. We've been so loved that the infinite recreated us out of its own being real. But if you take a look at tonight's description of what we were supposed to talk about, it says that life mirrors upside-down images or illusion if it is a reflection. See, the mirrors, if you hold a newspaper up to the mirror, you will notice that you can't read it in the mirror very well because the letters are back to front. So what we're dealing with is that the mirroring that takes place happens in middle mind. When mirroring takes place, we have illusion. In today's diary, not the one that's getting posted after the show tonight, but the one that happened last night late and for today, I found myself so sad, and I wrote about it because the night before I had hours and hours of visions in which the infinite showed me how, in fact, people were choosing. Even though all of life is new, pristinely made, life has been cleared. Great things are happening on earth to clear away the old, icky patterns. My brothers and sisters, so many people yearned for the old patterns. They even like the obsolete emotion of fear, because they were looking for high points in their life which should have been replaced by the adventure of discovery, of beingness, of their own being, of the mystical realms. There is this vast, incredible cosmos out there. So how is it that they kept turning to it? Yesterday, I seldom am sad because I find 100 things every day to be happy about. But I was so sad. I could not understand why such visions were shown that I would see so many yearning for the old loss of innocence that we had, and not valuing the pristineness of the cosmos. So finally, you know, after yesterday, I asked Mother, please, and I still speak of the infinite as Mother after working with the feminine aspect for many years, but asking, please, reveal to me why that is still the case. And I also saw that unpleasantness, opposition, was still our mirror for seeing things. In my own case, you know, if there is something I need to see, if I try and ignore it, I can't walk. I can't walk one step. I had this happened on Tuesday night, and I'm in the middle of one of the most precious times of my life when my son was chosen as a state's representative after, at 28 years old, knocking on 10,000 doors and working so hard, working his heart out. It was such a beautiful night for me, and all of a sudden, there comes the signal, you've got to look at something and do something, and I ignore it, but I can't walk now. It really upset me that we would still need these knocks over the head as ways for us to see that there is something we have to do. Why is that? Because middle mind sees its environment as a mirror. When you're in high mind, you see all of your environment inside you. And when you are outside of high mind, in this mind of infinite life that lies without it, a boundaryless mind, well, you see all things at once. You see it as a mirror, and you see it as within you. You don't like your mirrors, you change them. But the bottom line of it is that it was still telling us we are in ego identification. Ego identification belonged to middle mind. I was heartbroken when I discovered that this day. Do you know how many times we've discovered that the cosmos is in ego identification and that it's moved beyond it and lost that ego identification just to find itself in a bigger ego identification? In my own life, I've had to lose it 4 times now. When, you know, I lost ego identification, then I became as vast as the cosmos. Then the mother said, no, you're bigger than that, you're more than that. So then I became the vast oceans of consciousness that lay around the cosmos. Then mother said, no, you're in ego identification, lose that as well. And eventually she said, you still think you're feminine. You are all things. And so each time I had to lose it, it was trying to show there was something here we needed to see. We strengthen what we oppose, my brothers and sisters. I have only in the last hour begun to realize it's not that we need to suppress this middle mind. It's that we have to unify middle mind, higher mind, and eternal mind. The boundaryless mind. We have to unify them. How I know that is I asked Mother one simple question. Did the subconscious mind have a beginning? And she said, yes. That's why it is no more. Then I said, did middle mind have a beginning? And she said, no. In other words, middle mind is not something to suppress. Middle mind, that ego-identifying mind, is a vast, boundaryless piece of the infinite, infinite awareness that contracted itself into a little tiny spot to create. It did it to serve all life and to bring about creation. And today is the day that it loses its boundaries as a middle mind of the infinite being. It blends with higher mind, and jointly they blend with eternal mind, and they become one again. This is what took place only an hour before. But fortunately, we have had a lot of rehearsals. And so it was understood that wherever there is linear mind, there are matrices, and wherever there are matrices, there are watchers. And wherever that is the case, there is a mirror, mirroring illusion to us. No wonder the cosmos was in many instances choosing illusion over what is, which is purity, which is joy, which is adventure and discovery. We were choosing it because our mirroring was upside down. And it was so because we were in a finite, defined space. There can be no separation in the ocean that goes on forever and ever. The purpose of life has changed, my brothers and sisters. It used to be to solve the unknown portions of beingness until August of 2006. Then it became to create through the heart. And I write a lot about that in the book, The Ring of Truth. Then it changed yet again. It became to delight the infinite and to be delighted. Today, yet again, a very large purging took place cosmically. The purging was all that divides. If there are beings in governments that's trying to turn one government against another, if there is a being trying to turn one family member against another, one person against another, they are not going to be here much longer, if at all. This morning, at about 5 o'clock, 4:30, Mother awakened me, and she said, "It is time to heal the eyes and to heal the ears." I had a dream just prior to her awakening that I had two different earrings on. Our ears, our eyes, our nostrils, our lungs, our kidneys, everything where there's a binary splitting of a function, had to function as a unit. They had to function in tandem, like two bicycle wheels riding at the same speed, forward propelling the vehicle. It is the day of healing duality. My brothers and sisters, the standards get more and more refined. Every opportunity is provided for us to live a life of pristine innocence. But if we have that opportunity, let us see it in others as well. Thank you very, very much for joining me tonight. My love to you all, and those of you that are the masters that are in my classes that are on the line with us, a special welcome. And those of you that are brand new to the show, we hope you'll join us again. My love to you always. Goodbye.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Opening the Doors of Heaven with Almin. You can listen every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Sedona Talk Radio. That's every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you next week.